Question from Gary Manfords. I think it demonstrates where we need us to guide us through this. And Gary's got a very good question. What role should the church play in leading education and the way we contribute to climate change in the future? Mark, church and its role.
Actually, I was thinking how warm it was there. I would get over and say that. I mean, there's a sort of schism in the Christian community globally between the, looking at this from an American point of view, between the fundamentalists who say to the Armageddon, bring it on because it will transport me to heaven quicker than the rapture, who have some connections to the Bush White House, scarily enough, and the wider Christian community, I think, who are concerned to protect the integrity and sincerity of God's creation. And this is certainly the way that most of the Christian church is moving in the UK, and some of the most useful and interesting things come from the Archbishop of Canterbury, who has signed up to contractual conversions, for example, which is the international policy framework, which is pretty much unavoidable if you want to bring all of the world's countries into tackling global warming emissions, which we have to do. There's no point in us in the UK just tackling our own. And I think that kind of leadership, that kind of moral and spiritual leadership is absolutely essential. So I really welcome the way the church is moving this.
Quite a difficult one, this for me. I always have faith in one particular church person. That's not to have about anybody who's come from church, but I think it's all about a spiritual dimension and just the meaning of life and what have you. And I think it's very important, and I think it's one of the great sadnesses of the current age, this sort of spiritual dimension seems to have got lost somewhere. We need to re-engage it, whether that's in the form of community, the way we act to one another and all the rest of it. We are missing a dimension in life, and clearly we're facing major global challenges of the world. That's quite a good time to re-engage it. But it is about communities and people supporting people, isn't it, at the end of the day, and moving forward. I think anybody who can show that sort of leadership and bringing people together to solve common problems should be encouraged to do so.
And does the church have a role to play in this?
Definitely. I think the church in Swindon already play a role in this, and I do some great work on that environment. But also, I think reaching into different communities across Swindon, which is very important, and reaching perhaps in part to reach groups. But there's not just a role in this country and in Swindon, there's a role for the church with sister churches abroad as well, because one of the things that we have spoken about tonight is the international aspect and work that needs to be done to combat climate change. It's not just this country. We're a small country, although we punch above our weight in the way that we have influence others and work in the world, but also the way that we use up our natural resources. Churches have good links with other countries. I think that the environmental movement in other countries, particularly in developing countries, needs to be encouraged, and that's one way I think the church, particularly the churches here, can work to ensure that climate change is combated throughout the world, not just in this small country.
Julia, are people looking for some form of spiritual leadership, some form of leadership to enable them to take the right groups and be effective when it comes to considering climate change in the future?
Well, of course, I think there has been quite, the Church of England has taken very strong stance on this. And one of the real advocates for this is John Horton, who himself was at one time the chief executive of the Met Office and the lead role in the development of climate change. He's written some very good books on the relationship between Christianity and science, Christianity and climate change. And I think there are two points here. First of all, I think it's this message that the planet does not belong to us. We are stewards, and we have a responsibility in that stewardship that future generations will rely on the degree to which we have accomplished that stewardship, well, not. I think that's a very strong message to the church. The other one is, I entirely agree with Anne, that the church has this mission to care for its neighbours, whether they be in Swindon or whether they and this going back to small communities is perhaps one way we can do it, that individual churches can twin with a church or a village in somewhere which is already experiencing the effects of climate change, and help them to adapt to it, to be able to survive what may come in the next few decades. And I think that's a very positive thing the church can do. And I'm very active in my church, in my village, and we're just about to build a church, a mural project, a very old church, but we're very keen that we're energy neutral in whatever we do. We end up with a church which is zero carbon. It might be putting solar panels on the roof, but
Well, I agree very much with what Julie said. I mean, about the moral knowledge of the church, and I want to say one other thing as well, but in terms of what Julie said, this is about our obligation to future generations. Absolutely right. We do not own this planet. We are stewards of it for our time on Earth. And to create that proper sense of obligation is a moral obligation, and that's fundamentally a task of the church. But fundamentally a task for all of us as well, not only for the church. It's very important that the church does play exactly that role. But I think there's another more political and distributional way in which I think the church can be very important, and it's demonstrated how it can play this role already in relation to the Jubilee 2000 decade and so on. And it's this. There is no doubt that our world is going to change fundamentally. Whether we stay off the catastrophic outcome, what we know that get the best possible outcome, whether that happens, it is going to change dramatically. Julia just gave us an example of water in Spain. Now when change of this sort of magnitude happens, there are always people who are more vulnerable and who are going to be most disadvantaged by these changes. Competition for water, that competition will be won by the richest and most powerful people. That's what happens. And the only way we counter weigh that is through the moral obligation that we all feel to our fellow human beings. Again, it's not only a matter of the church, it's a role in which the church can play a fundamentally important part in promoting that sense of moral obligation, that no matter what the change that happens, and there will be profound changes, we do not see, yet again, the poorest and most vulnerable people on this planet suffering the most.